Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, and merciful God, whose word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, open and illuminate our minds that we may truly understand your word and that our life may be conformed to what we have rightly understood, that in all our ways we may be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm of the day is Psalm 126. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bear the seeds for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves." Our gospel lesson for today comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho, as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. And we kind of come in the middle once again that, you know, there's a letter that's we're reading from. And what preceded this was a discussion or a lesson about Jesus being the high priest for us. And so here we continue on. We begin with a furthermore here, which means we're coming in the middle of this discussion. So I want you to know kind of where we are. Furthermore, the priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day by day, first for his own sins and then those for the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want us this morning to think about one of the greatest movies ever made. It is a classic of cinematic storytelling. It has wonderful cinematography, a wonderful story, incredibly deep and well-developed characters. I am, of course, talking about Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. One of the best, if not the best, movies ever made. Now, for those of you who are too young to know, I'm not going to say the other, those of you who are too young to know this great classic, Indiana Jones is an adventurer archaeologist. He goes around the world. He's based in the time, you know, maybe the 1920s, 1930s is whenever, you know, he is at work going around the world on great adventures to go seek out great treasures and then come back and teach his university classes. He is armed only with a leather jacket, a pair of khaki pants, a leather satchel, and a fedora, a bullwhip at his hip. He is a marvelous specimen of a human being, played, of course, by Harrison Ford. Now, in this particular movie, Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, along with his father, is on the hunt for the Holy Grail. And we come to the end of the story of the movie, and they are in the last moments, almost there. They are racing, of course, the Nazis, the great enemy of their day, to get to the Holy Grail because it has such wonderful supernatural powers. But in order for Indiana to get the Grail and to give it to the Nazis as they are trying to steal it from him, they wound mortally Indiana's father. Yes, Sean Connery, I heard that. Sean Connery, yes. Sean Connery and Harrison Ford were in the same movie. But it has nothing to do with why it's so great. But anyway, and so here is Indy's dad. He is dying, and in order for Indiana to save him, he must go get the Grail and bring it back to his enemies. And they promise that they will use the healing powers of the Grail to save his father. Now he goes through this. There are riddles and tests for him to get through this cave in order to get to where the Grail is. And so the first one was only a penitent man shall pass. And so he had to figure out what that meant. And he figures out that it means a penitent man kneels. And just at that moment, there was something that was going to come slice him in two if he didn't kneel down. So he passes that test and goes on down the corridor, and he gets to the next one, and that is the Word of God. He's got to figure out, what does the Word of God mean? What is this test that I have to pass? And there's all these letters on the floor. And so he realizes, Jehovah, that's the Word of God. It's the name of God. And so he steps off, and the first letter he steps on is a J, and he starts to fall through this chasm. The floor drops away, and he realizes, in Latin it begins with an I or something like that. And so he jumps up, and then he spells it out, gets across, and he's made it through his second challenge. The third challenge, he gets to it, and it says it's the leap of faith. And he's standing at this precipice. And over on the other side is another cliff. And there's no way, even with his trusty bullwhip, that he can find a way to sling himself over the chasm. He has to take a leap of faith. And he's sweating. You can just tell he's just dreading it because it's so far down, thousands of feet, an endless chasm. What is he going to do? And at that moment, he hears from way in the distance his father, Indiana, help me. No, he's spurred on because he knows he must save his father. So finally, he just does it. He just takes a leap of faith and steps out into the chasm. And he realizes that it is an optical illusion, that the only way that you can see the footbridge is if you are standing on it. You have to take that first step, that step of faith, in order to see the path unfold before you. So, of course, he gets in there, he gets the cave, he gets the grail, blah, 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 and yet, long story short, they all live happily ever after. So he gets the grail. Yeah, this is wonderful. We've got to see it. It's beautiful. But I want us to think about this step of faith. There's much that we can learn about living our faith from the Indiana Jones movie, along with the gospel and the epistle lesson this morning. But there is much about our faith sometimes that we think is a grandiose production. That I am going to take this great leap of faith and go do something. I believe God is calling me to do this, and it is going to be this huge, huge undertaking. I'm going to have to pass test after test after test. I am going to face all of these questions and these perils. And the reality is, sometimes we just have to step. Take a step. A step of faith when we think to ourselves, we're going to fall off the precipice here. And the reality is, when we take that step, we realize the path has been there the whole time. That once we start to take the first step, we can see where the second step is going to take us, and the third, and the fourth. And we see that God is leading us along as we go about our lives. As we take those steps of faith, we see our life unfolding before us. We understand where God is leading us. We see that sometimes our life of faith, our discipleship, our following Jesus really is just one step at a time. It's not standing at the edge of a canyon and leaping off. It is just one step, one foot after the other. We see this in the passage from the gospel. Sometimes we think that our life of faith is about achieving something. It's about getting us somewhere. But in the story of blind Bartimaeus, as he is known throughout history, blind Bartimaeus really wasn't blind. His faith is what made him whole. He didn't go to Jesus and then get faith. He, in faith, called out to Jesus, even in his blindness, even in his poverty, even in his marginalized status of being shushed and moved about and pushed to the sides by the crowds and by his community. He had faith. His faith was already there. He was not needing healing to be whole. It was already there. So when he calls out to Jesus, he's calling out in faith. He believes that Jesus is the one that can take his blindness away. But whether or not he was blind really didn't impact his faith, because it was already alive in him. So often we think that we are supposed to be a person of great faith already, that we're supposed to start out with great faith, as however we define that in our mind, that we are supposed to be whole, that we are supposed to be full of understanding already at all points in our lives. If we're not whole, if we're not full of intellectual knowledge of Jesus, if we can't answer all the questions that things like theology and wine, if we think that something is wrong with us, that we don't have enough of something. But the reality is, time and again in Scripture, we see the people who have the greatest faith are those who really are not whole. They are all in need, either of physical healing or of understanding or of comfort. They may be grieving, but their faith is what keeps them already attached to God in Jesus Christ. So one of the challenges in our lives is to understand that we don't have to be perfect whenever we call to Christ. Our faith is enough, whatever that faith is. Our faith is enough for Christ to move within us, to guide us, to keep us taking one step after another, to bring people in our way who, whether they're the crowd trying to keep us away, who that finally part because they hear the word of Christ, come and say, come this way, come this way. He's calling after you. The community opens up and ushers us towards Jesus. The faith that sometimes we seek is the faith we already have. We just think that it's something that needs to be demonstrated by a great leap of faith, and the reality is it just needs to be demonstrated by calling out, by praying, by taking one step towards a destination, by having the faith that God is going to lead us even when we can't see the path before us. As individuals and as the church, we often find ourselves in places where we think we're not going to make a move until we have all of the answers to our questions. But the reality is, throughout our faith history, the greatest things have happened when people say, I don't know where in the world God is leading us, but we're going to take the first step. We're going to go. Because God said go. I'm going to take a step because God said take a step. I'm going to care because God said care. I'm going to reach out because God said to reach out. Not knowing what it's going to be like at the end of the day, but being willing to put one step, one foot in front of the other to follow Christ where he leads us. I feel like this is kind of the place where we are as a congregation. Sometimes we don't always know where God is leading us, but our job is to remain faithful. It's to be faithful. Not to achieve great things, but to be faithful. Our call is to put one foot in front of the other and follow where Christ is leading us to go, to believe that God is at work within us, to try, to move, to give, to show up, to be present, to be willing, even when we cannot answer all the questions that we may have, we have faith that God is leading us and caring for us as we go. Imagine if Bartimaeus sat at the side of the road and kept his mouth shut. He still would have had faith, but we would not have had the example of a man broken and pushed aside, shouting out with great ferocity, notice me, Jesus, I'm over here. It's a great example of how our faith can make us bold, even when we have been pushed aside throughout our lives. The boldness we need is a gift from God. Faith is one of those gifts that never fades, even when we think it does. We may not feel faithful. We may not feel like we have greatness within us. But the greatness comes from the work of God in us and through us. So like Bartimaeus, like Indiana, I invite us all to take that one step, to acknowledge that we may not know where the end of the road takes us, but faith is leading us onward, and we may have the joy that God gives to us and to others of knowing what it's like to see that road come to light before us, that you can only see when you're on it. So as we take our steps of faith throughout the week, throughout our many days together and as individuals in our lives, I pray that we remember that our faith is enough because it is God who blesses us, who guides us, who keeps us. Our faith is enough because it will spur us on to take those steps that are often frightening, but are always blessed. So take those steps. Call out. See the crowd part before you, but always, always, always see Jesus at the end and beside you, spurring you on, guiding you, walking beside you and with you, and know that your faith is enough.